Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try.
Season is here as we're talking about Netflix's one of the first holiday offerings here, best Christmas ever. And let's talk to the guy who makes every week the best podcast ever. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, tis the season. We made it. It's Christmas.
The season, and we're ready to go. And so, here he is. Here's Chappelle sitting up in his room, ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a full moon tonight. You know, there's a lot of craziness going on here. But yes, I'm here to talk about Best Christmas Ever. Mm-hmm. This is a movie that for me, I was very uncomfortable talking about it, Rob. I know you had said, do you want to talk about this movie? And all I could think was, it's like November 12th. Why are we talking about Christmas movies already? Rob, I think I'm becoming the Scrooge. I'm the one who, I think we roll out the Christmas content just way too early in the season. By the time December rolls around, what are we even doing?
Yeah, I normally agree with you. I mean, it is November 19th as we are recording this. I think this movie just came out on Thursday or Friday, but you know, it's Thanksgiving in like 6 days.
Yeah, but like, damn, can Thanksgiving live? Can it breathe? Can it have its moment? I mean,
no,
don't get me wrong.
You go right from Thanksgiving into Christmas stuff. So,
yeah, Thanksgiving is, you know, notoriously genocidal, you know, so I get it. They don't need a lot of time. But, you know, fall ain't even over. Texas, you know, we have seasons sometimes. So we don't get like the snow to signify that, you know, it's winter. We just kind of. Okay, it's 65 degrees outside and it's December 12th. Is it winter yet or no? Is it still fall? Mm-hmm. So for me, Christmas movies are for December and that's it, you know, because that is when winter starts for me.
Bro, you know, I think they just want to get in early on the season. You know, the problem is, you know, Thanksgiving is a day. It's not a season. You don't wake up in November. It's like, Thanksgiving season. Let's take the turkey out of the freezer and let's let it do a slow thaw.
I just want fall to have its things. That's all. You know, the day after Halloween, I start getting Black Friday deals. Mm-hmm. Remember when Black Friday was just Friday? Am I a lunatic here for wanting those days back?
No, I hear you, but I'm sorry. That's not the reason for the season here. We're here to talk about best Christmas ever. And this is an interesting movie to talk about. There were some laughs that we talked about last season, the Lindsay Lohan Netflix Christmas movie. Could you remember, if I gave you $10, could you remember what the name of that movie was?
God dang it. Oh God, because I remember us saying that it was a bad title and then we could change the title to I think I remember what our fake title was.
What was our fake title?
Our fake title was Falling for Christmas because she kept falling down and bumping her head or something, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah.
Or was that the real title?
That was the real title. Yes.
That's the I did it.
Falling for Christmas was the name of the movie. Lindsay Lohan got amnesia. And then she ultimately was forgot that she was an heiress and then went and did a whole thing where she was went for the living in the other ski lodge.
Yeah, she was the rich lady going to slum it with the poor folk who were losing the ski lodge. And then, you know, they found her with her amnesia and was like, oh, no, you're rich. We need to get you out of here. Okay, I remember. Rob, it's so funny. I could not remember the title of that. And I think when you said $10, I felt the stakes were so high.
I owe you $10. So Netflix, I think that their business model, they're competing with the Hallmark Channel and all of these. But what they're doing is they're bringing in some stars on their holiday films where, you're not really getting too many big names on the Hallmark Channel. Maybe you get somebody's sort of a washed up sitcom star. We're getting some pretty big names. Lindsay Lohan last year. Here's Heather Graham, Brandy, and Jason Biggs starring in Best Christmas Ever. Also, not a great name for what this is.
No, no, no. It's about the punctuation. It's best period. Christmas. Yeah, period. Yeah. Ever. Exclamation point. It's that real exclamation point at the end that really tells why the movie is the movie. Because this movie is about, you know, how one person thinks that someone else is sensationalizing her Christmas. You know, they're trying to blow it up to be the big. It's so much more bigger, right? This is my family. We do all these crazy, amazing things. That exclamation point is saying so much in this title. But that's it. Honestly, the movie is not even really about Christmas at all. It has nothing to do with Christmas. I mean, until at some point Santa shows up, which is probably the mark of all these movies. You know, it's a regular movie, mm-hmm. and then there's Santa. But aside from that, no, this is about someone whose homegirl is hating on them from a distance. Yeah. And then they find out that they shouldn't be hating on this person. They should be uplifting them. Right. And then the Christmas spirit kicks in.
Yeah. Let me give you the real quick plot synopsis. And then we'll talk about this film and the spoilers. But basically, all you need to know is Heather Graham is a hater.
Sucks.
She's drinking instead of eggnog. She's got her Haterade going.
Haterade, sipping slow, man. She's got a drip of it, like an IV drip.
Yeah, and she's hating on Brandy so hard.
I know. Who does she think she is, Monica? Get off of Brandy's back, man. Yeah, let her live.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's it. And then by accident, they end up showing up at Brandy's house. And Brandy, that she plays a character, Jackie. And they end up showing mm-hmm. up at her house. And she writes a newsletter every single year. And Charlotte, played by Heather Graham, is sickened by how amazing her life is. And they end up inadvertently, they get the wrong address in the navigation. They end up snowed in at Jackie's house. And it's very annoying for the hater, Charlotte, to be a part of this holiday festivities at Jackie's house. That's the movie.
Yeah, there was a moment where I said, is this racially motivated? Why are you like this? So I had to talk myself out of it. I said, okay, well, Brandy did used to sleep with her man. And
well,
so,
yeah,
you know,
well, it's also like
threatened.
Very incestuous that Jason Biggs also used to be the former, at least, boyfriend of Jackie.
His first big love, you know, in college. They're old flings. And I think for Heather Graham, for Charlotte, she's a hater. She's been a hater from jump. The moment that the movie opens up with, hey, I'm Heather and I'm a big hater, you know, Heather the hater. And it's just like from there, she just leans into it. You know, everything that Jax does is just, it's too big. It's too nice. Halfway through the movie, I started to wonder too, you know, Jason Biggs, do I need to tell you to stand up? Like, your wife's not really... She's not really happy with you. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious, right? Like, she's very much unhappy in her own life. And so she's taking it out on this nice, successful couple and their tragic story. Yeah, I think if you shift the way the camera is recording all these people, Rob.
Yeah.
I think Charlotte is a horrible person.
No, she's a horrible person. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
She sucks.
So that's, look, if you want to go watch the movie, if you haven't watched it yet, go watch Best Christmas Ever. Because we, Chappelle and I, need to talk about some things. Okay.
Yeah, we need to talk about some things, but also just, you know, if you want my endorsement, I enjoyed it. There you go.
Yeah. Here's what I'm gonna say. It's the movie is an hour and 20 minutes with credits. Okay. If you're looking for something to put on when you're doing holiday stuff, you could do a lot worse than Best Christmas Ever.
Right. Maybe don't watch it with your kids, but then even if you did, you'd be fine. They'd be okay.
Everybody would be fine. My kids watched it. It was fine. Okay.
Okay.
Chappelle. All right. Did you, a person who's very intuitive, at what point did you catch the film's big twist?
I'm sorry. I thought, I had two different twists in mind. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a smaller twist that I would say was what I really thought was going on, which was that eventually we were going to find out that Jackie was a big fraud. You know, like I thought that was where we were going. Obviously Charlotte's a hater. She's trying to find out this information. I'm thinking, are these paid actors or something like that?
She's going to expose them. Right.
Yeah. But there was at one point in the movie where I think they mentioned offhand, the son. And I say, where is he? I bet he died. And I literally just said it. And I thought that I just kind of pushed it out of my memory. And then, you know, at some point it came out that, oh yeah, I think the son is dead. But for me, I didn't think that it was painfully obvious that the son was dead. I was like, well, damn, how was I supposed to figure that out? You know, like, I just said it offhandedly because I didn't know where it was going. Did you clock this very early on?
No, I did not.
I thought they forced the twist.
This was my viewing experience with this, of that I watched it the first time through yesterday. I put it on and I was paying like pretty close attention through the first half. And then I was sort of like half watching it in the second half, and then caught then that there was, if you're just listening along, Jackie, played by Brandy, she writes a newsletter every year, talks about how great the family's life is, and that she mentions that there is that they have two kids, Beatrix and Daniel, and they are doing Daniel's work, and he is like accomplishing like these great things. He's really not mentioned very much throughout the film, other than like he is like that, you know. Not around and great things are happening. And we find out that he has tragically like passed away last year. There's a quick mention of Jackie mentioned that she didn't write the newsletter of how great everything was going last year, but she's back this year to talk about how great everything is going. And we end up finding out that, Jackie is doing like a big thing. There was a solar powered hot air balloon that was his vision, and that they're doing it to honor him. But this was a big twist to me. I was like, wait, that her son died?
Yeah. But I don't think the show does a good job of like making the twist something that you can look back and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, because looking back, you know, there's two things. And again, this isn't a true story. It's not a documentary. Okay. So, but people grieve differently. Okay. Yeah. But one, Charlotte, played by Heather Graham, is irredeemable. After, you know, knowing the fact that Jackie's family has lost their son, she is a monster. Okay. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
But like for Jackie and Valentino, the parents here, like, is everything okay here? Because it almost seems as though they've gone to great lengths to hide the fact that their son has passed.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's the thing. That's why I said, what is he dead? Because we never get any inkling that there is a son at all in the movie. After they say, my son is gone, like, oh, yeah, my son went and did a thing. We see Charlotte and her kids all around that house. At no point are they like, Daniel's stuff. You know, you see Daniel's room. Nobody goes in there. Nobody touches it. No, nothing, right? We get nothing. You know, the little sister doesn't mention her brother. There's no pictures of them and Daniel.
She's too busy talking about, like, I'm going to prove whether or not Santa Claus exists.
Yeah, look, that little girl was onto something, okay? I'm not saying she was right, but she had some data to support whatever her claims were for a very long time.
She was, like, going to do a TED Talk about Santa Claus.
Yeah, she was ready to air it out. But Daniel... we get nothing. We get nothing. Like, how was Daniel at school? The daughter doesn't mention him at all. They don't ever say his name until, you know, we just see that Charlotte keeps running across it. That's why I said, I think the show forced the twist.
Well, okay. So we get in the movie that there is like some kind of like a ongoing relationship, not one of a romantic variety, but Jackie and Rob have kept in touch over the years, right? And they write letters. She gets his letter. Does Rob know? Did she tell? Does Rob know that this family lost a child? Because he does not seem to show like any like compassion towards them, even upon hearing like this. Like, there's no reaction of like, oh my god, I'm so sorry.
No, these people are so self-centered. You know, like it's like they're the perfect family right there had an awful thing happen to them, but because they're so perfect, nobody thought to like, do y'all need something? Do you need help? Is there anything we could do? They were just kind of like, oh, damn, that's crazy. So y'all been lying to us this whole time? It's like, yeah, but we're obviously very hurt. We are hiding our child's mortality from y'all or, you know, whatever. Why don't you reach, you know, it just felt like at that moment they should have gathered around them and tried to uplift them as a family as opposed to being like, well, when is the pageant again? You know, like it just felt like they didn't really, the movie doesn't lean into the twist. It just does it. But I'll say this, as far as, you know, the family goes and Rob, I think when it comes to Rob, I think his only real interaction is just the newsletter. Like, I don't think he ever like actually talks to her about what's going on. I think it's just newsletters. And Brandy left it out of her family newsletter because they didn't want to surprise everybody at Christmas with, hey, y'all, we lost a child.
But she even seems to be like, I don't know that, like, I don't know. They never get into like what happened to this child. I mean,
I thought he got lost in a hot air balloon or something.
That's what I was thinking also about, you know, that, and it was really took a second time through to see, like, we don't get anything about like the circumstances of what happened to their son, Daniel, but it just seems like that they're like not telling people that he's not around.
They're not. But we don't know how long ago he passed either.
I think it was a year ago because she says that she took a year off from the newsletter last year, but this year we're back to tell you about what a splendiferous time we're having.
Okay, so here's the thing. We know the townspeople know Daniel is dead.
Yes.
So it's not a complete secret because we see Rose, the angel in the play, say, hey, thank y'all for coming and being with Jax. She needs people around her this time of year. You know, it's good for the second year in a row. Basically, we need to surround her right with love. And we know the newsletter has
you
been going
people
out.
Who have come in and tried to ruin her Christmas.
Literally, it will stop at nothing. And by you people, we really are just talking about Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So the townspeople know. I just think that the only time Brandy and Valentino, the only time they actually reach out to their friends is with the newsletter. And so they skipped one year because he died around the holidays. And then the next year, when it would have been time to announce it, You just can't put that in a newsletter. Like, hey, we're doing great. I've sold my company. I'm making all this money. My kid just got into Harvard. The other kid's dead and we're buying a house. It's like, okay, obviously there's really no tactful way to put that in a newsletter. And I don't really think there's a tactful way of announcing that your kid died, right? Like, what do you just send out an email? Hey, y'all, just FYI.
Yeah, I know. But I just think that word, you know, like people, like bad news travels very fast. Like people like share that. I think that this friend group of all these people that they were like, what, their high school friends or whatever. You would think that somebody would have like passed this information, especially she wasn't just friends with Charlotte. She also used to date Rob, played by Jason Biggs.
Yeah, I think the problem is that they're not real friends. These people are just close enough. Because, like, think about it. Charlotte did not know where Jax lived, and she thought she was lying. She thought all this was a ruse anyway. So she was very much like, wouldn't it be nice to just pull up on our house unexpected and see that it's all fake, only to pull up and see they're in front of a mansion? So it's not like they keep in touch, because you would obviously know this woman is a millionaire who just sold her aeronautics engineering company or whatever, and then her kid got into Harvard. That would be stuff that is top of the conversation, right? Like, your 12-year-old is about to get into Harvard. All your friends should know. You shouldn't need a newsletter to announce that. So I think that, yeah, they're not real friends. This is just, they all met in college. They went their own way, and they only contact each other for the holidays. Jason Biggs' newsletter goes out, and so does hers.
I'm also thinking that there's a lot of people who are frauds in this movie, because every single like travel picture is like the worst Photoshop you've ever seen. Like,
Saying production is fraudulent?
Production is fraudulent, because it would be like they took a picture of like me and you, like the me and Chappelle in front of like Mount Rushmore. Like,
hey,
it's
yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's not
here's
a bad
me
shot.
And Chappelle,
I mean,
at the Sphinx.
Yeah, it's like we're traveling, but
like,
you're not
here
wrong.
We are in front of the Sydney Opera House.
They kind of telegraphed that too, Rob, though, because she does find that book, like Photoshop for Dummies. And I think it might have just been production just left it on the set.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the movie. And I don't know if it holds up. I think it's good for one viewing through, but don't go back and scrutinize this movie like we might.
Wait. You're saying as long as you're watching it and you know the kid hasn't died, it's a fun ride. But then once you find out he died, you're like, dear God, y'all are bullying these people as they're going through grief.
The movie, like when you realize that the kid, this family had suffered a loss and like they're acting so bizarre. And then Charlotte is such a monster to them.
She's the worst. Mm-hmm. She's awful. And it's bad because it's like she purely does not like them. Because they are too likable, right? That they're getting along too good. They're doing too well in life, to the point where it's starting to look like she just doesn't like her life. Right? It'd be nice to have a smart kid, you know, a dead kid as well. You know, like it's like, Charlotte, please, for the love of God, these people they have problems too.
The restraint, it doesn't even make sense, Chappelle. Like the restraint that Jackie has, like where there's one point where like 2/3 of the way through in the movie when Charlotte ends up like putting her whole nest egg into buying this home for her husband. And then she loses her job and like Jackie's trying to console her. And she's like, look, you don't have to make me feel better. I get it. Your life is perfect. Everything works out for you. You have the perfect life in your newsletter. Okay. So it all works out for you. And how does she sit there
and just like not slap the hell out of that woman?
She's lost a child in the last year and she's being berated by this person who I don't know. Like, has this family tried to keep this a secret? And is that why she's not saying anything?
Or she still doesn't want to bring attention to it, you mean, in that moment. I mean, Rob.
I don't know.
I'm like, screw
it. How to treat this.
Yeah, this woman is telling her, and it's very patronizing as well. It's like this kid says several times throughout the movie, but she says, things just magically go well for you. Huh. So nothing about hard work and, you know, her educational background and stuff like that. Just people, all this nice stuff just falls into your lap. Brandy, you're not talented or exceptional. You're normal like everybody else. And things just happen to you, and things don't happen to me because I'm one of God's strongest soldiers and he only gives us his hardest test. Like, bro, Jackie should have been like, girl, I got three degrees. I'm get a doctor. Out. Yeah, get the hell out of my house. Tell him about some stuff. Just fell in my lap, you know? But she goes, no, nothing. That doesn't happen. Okay, I understand why you're upset. And I mean, Jackie could not be a more forgiving human. You know, this woman had done so much bad to you in the 3 days that she's been there. And she just keeps writing it off. That's what I said. I was waiting on the ball to drop. I was waiting on the other shoe to hit or whatever the case may be, because I just knew there has to be something wrong with these people, right? Like, the way Heather is treating us, the show wouldn't allow us to come from Heather's point of view and be so suspicious of them, only to find out that, no, they're actually perfect, and they actually have just suffered a horrible loss, and we're horrible people for even believing anything that Heather could have thought.
It's wild.
Yeah.
All right.
It is.
So, all right. Charlotte, she gets the newsletter. She hates it so much. Do you ever get anything like this, Chappelle? Do you ever get like a newsletter card type of thing of like an update that we do have one like friend of the family that does a Christmas card that is like of a similar variety. It's not a newsletter. Like, this was almost like, you know, a tabloid,
this was a newsletter. Yeah, like, a literal,
like the New York Post that you get in the bulletin. From them. Right. That, but we do get like some, like, we have a family who's a family friend who they have the Christmas card. And then on the back, it's like, oh, so-and-so has begun their equestrian. And then so-and-so, this person is like passed the bar exam at the age of nine. Right. then, it drives my wife nuts.
Is your wife a hater?
I mean, between us, like,
I mean, it's fine. She's no Heather Graham, I'm sure. Yeah, she's no Heather Graham. No. She's no Charlotte. Rob, no, I don't get stuff like this. I understand the urge to tell people what's going on in your life, you know, especially around the holidays when people enjoy family. I actually enjoy when people send me pictures of their family in front of like the tree and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't mind the like family holiday photo. That's kind of cool. But if you want to tell us what's going on, update your Facebook status and leave us alone.
Yeah. What's picture good? Is worth 1,000 words.
Honestly, send the picture. If we see somebody missing from the photo, we have to assume that we have a Daniel situation on our hands, and I'll probably reach out, you know, but like, I don't need a obituary or anything sent in the mail either, you know?
Is that the lesson of this movie? If you get a Christmas card and one of the family members that is not in the picture this year and you haven't heard anything, like, check in.
You should call.
Yeah.
Check on your strong friends, for real. Especially your magically blessed strong friends. I mean, to be fair, people like to flex around the holidays. They love to show off all the things that they bought their kids, all the stuff that they spent, you know, the money they spent on themselves and all the other stuff, all their great things. You want to talk about your blessings during the holidays. That's fine. But if that's not your life, then yeah, it does feel a little flexy. Like, dang, why are you trying to step on my neck? You know, we all can't go out and get a Maserati or, you know, whatever. You know, like, my bad. I got three jobs. I'm trying my best here. And so I get the urge from Charlotte to, you know, kind of be envious. And I think that's a big part with social media and stuff of that nature, too, or it's just like, it's highlighting these big moments in your life and not the bad things. No one posts the bad things. And so I get why Charlotte would have those thoughts. Comma, but woman, have some decorum. You just don't show up in somebody's house and start going through their stuff. She's going through that woman's mail.
Yeah.
Was she in the attic and knocked over Granny's dollhouse?
Dollhouse.
Like, lady, what are you doing?
So we are going to Charlotte's family's or her sister that Heather Graham is married to Jason Biggs, and he sort of like flips houses. And so, and she also, this is a big plot point. She's kind of, she works for a company. This is almost like a suit storyline. She works for like a big tech company. She basically works like for like Roomba. And then that they had an incident with something called the vacuum of death.
Well, I don't know if it was actually called the Vacuum of Death or if they it was became the moniker of the vacuum because it caught flames. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Like they were doing like a presentation and it just caught fire and they could basically die. They could get sued for people dying because of an exploding, flaming vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's kind of like had like the fix on that. And I'm not sure if corporate is listening to her, but either way, they're off to go to her sister's house for Christmas. And then she's got a kid. She's got two kids. The daughter doesn't really have a lot to do. We don't really deal with her too much. But she has an older son named Grant. He has like a creepy stuffed animal monkey and that somehow like he touched the navigation and put in the navigation to go into Brandy's house because...
No. This is what happened.
Yeah.
She said, put your aunt... So Grant's in the car and he says, why don't we ever go to Jackie's house? We always getting these dang newsletters. What's up? They doing all this cool stuff. They rich. Obviously, we got rich friends. We don't go over there. And his mom's like, oh, Grant, that's probably fake. You know, Brandy would never know Mariah Carey. And so she says, so put your address, my sister's address in the phone and we will follow the GPS there. What he does is he looks at that postcard and said, nah, well, the newsletter got an address on it and we've been to pull up over there. So he just puts the wrong address in on purpose so they can go see how the rich people live.
Yeah, because Heather Graham says like, yeah, I would like to show up at her house someday and just see like how fake everything is for real.
Yeah. And Grant says, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Monkey Bob said that. Monkey Bob gave Grant the idea. He's not a talking monkey, but you know, it's his kid's toy. He gave him the idea. So yeah, he set her up. He said, oh, you want to see if it's fake? Let's go find out. Put your money where your mouth is and make the trip.
And so they pull up at the house. They're like, boy, his sister got a big new house. This is amazing. And they open it up and it's Brandy. And she's like, what are you guys doing here? Come on in. You have to stay.
Yeah, she's like, no, I don't want to stay because I hate you. I hate you for being successful and I really got to go. But the kids are like, I got to pee. And Jason Biggs is like, I got to pee. And so he's like, okay, cool. We'll come inside for a little bit.
And again, Jason Biggs used to date Brandy. And so that she's like, oh, here's all the pictures. And it's like, I kind of feel like that maybe Charlotte kind of like anecdotally knew about this. But, you know, Brandy really seems like she's like rubbing it in Heather Graham's face when she's like taking out all of the photos and like putting them by the bed.
Okay. She takes out a photo of them and when they were in their no doubt cover band era, cause they used to perform together and they dated as well. And she goes and puts the photo of them next to the nightstand for Charlotte and Jason Biggs' character, Robbie, to sleep next to. Well, that's very odd. I'm sorry. If somebody comes and is like, hey, here's a picture of me and your husband, night, night. And she only says good night to Robbie. You know, if they were trying to paint it like Charlotte still had feelings for Robbie, they were doing a really good job. But the movie does not press that issue. The movie basically says it really does look like they have feelings. She always calls him Robbie. She calls him by his nickname. She's always touching on him and like winking at him and stuff like that. But we never get any romantic involvement from those two.
My wife would have committed a murder.
Oh, there was moments where I was thinking, okay, this might all be real, but at the very least, Jackie is after your man. Like I was like, I'm not a hater like you are, Charlotte, but I see what's going on here. Anytime somebody tells the person next to you good night and not you, you should feel slighted. And she's like, good night, Robbie. Y'all sleep tight. Like, bro, I'm right here. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I agree. I think murders could have been committed, and I would have looked the other way if they were based off of this flirtation.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Chappelle, so we did watch this movie with our children. And there was one especially awkward moment here when...
Just one?
As Rob and Charlotte are going to sleep, they hear the sounds of intense pounding on up against the walls of the room that they are in. Rhythmic jostling going on, almost as if Santa Claus was landing his sleigh up and down off the roof repeatedly.
Yeah, some chestnuts were roasting. I think that it's described as moving furniture when asked about it.
Well, the next day that they talked about some noises, and so... Brandy and her husband, Valentino, played by Matt Cedeno. Is he from anything?
I do not know this man.
His name is listed on the poster. He's been in Power. He's been in 22 episodes of Power.
Oh, okay. I've only seen the beginning of Power. Mm-hmm. Don't judge me. Yeah, it's because there's too many episodes, but I'm gonna finish it, I promise. But I've never seen this man before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's billed at fourth on the poster, but he is on the poster. And so here he is, Matt Cedeno. He looks a little bit he's like a mini Tony Robbins. What do you think of that?
A mini Tony Robbins. Well, yeah, he's a very athletic type. He's got one of those huge smiles, and he walks in slow motion. He makes his own wind. Yeah, Tony Robbins.
Yeah. And so he's treated as sort of like a guy, like he's like a hot guy that like Heather Graham is like obviously like that he's stirring some feelings in her. And as like just the idea of this other couple sleeping in the house has prompted Brandy or Jackie and Valentino to be like aggressively moving furniture at nighttime. Heather Graham meets Valentino in the morning and he's like squeezing orange juice. And like she's having like a dream sequence almost about him. And I'm like, oh, my God, are we swingers all the way?
Oh, swingers all the way. That's for next. That's for next Netflix. Now I didn't get that, but I just saw this as an opportunity for one, Heather to hate again, and two, for them to show that every time Heather thinks that like her life is normal and that she has nothing to worry about with Brandy and Valentino's relationship, just random things pop up in front of her. And so this particular time, she's questioning Jason Biggs' character about their relationship. She's like, hey, you and Brandy, y'all used to, you know, whatever, but y'all done, right? And he's like, yeah, we're good. And he's like, well, what'd you like about her? Well, she's Brandy. She's a great singer, but she's also very spontaneous. You want to do something spontaneous, or are you just gonna hate from outside the club? And Heather's like, oh yeah, I can do something spontaneous. She's like, okay. He's like, okay, let's move some furniture. And she goes, no, oh my God, not here. This is crazy. That's wild. That's too spontaneous. And he's like, all right, I'm going to sleep. The moment he goes to sleep, the spontaneity is right next door, baby. They're in there moving furniture, and it's aggressive. And so she wakes up, accidentally knocks the damn picture off the nightstand. It falls down and breaks, and it just looks like she's up being a mega hater.
She's very worried about the connection between Rob and Jackie, and you know it comes up, and at like they're having a dinner, and that she's getting sick of it, the flirtatiousness between Jackie and Rob. And she ends up having a conversation with Valentino about it. And the fact that if, you know, if Rob finds Jackie attractive, which doesn't bother Valentino, he's happy that other men are finding his wife attractive. And then he asks Heather Graham's Charlotte, like, well, do you find me attractive? And
she's like, humming, 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 humming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course she does. Of course she does, right? This man is, like I say, walking in slow motion. His hair is blowing in the wind. He was moving furniture in a way that she could only imagine. And she listened to it all night. And so she's kind of nasty. And so, yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm into it. But Rob, she says, like, do you find me attractive? And he gives her the shortest no.
Absolutely not. No.
Nope.
No.
No. Are you crazy?
No.
What?
No.
You? I'm married to Brandy, ma'am. I've seen no one else.
Yeah.
I love that scene. I love that scene because for one, Valentino is giving her words of wisdom. This is, again, another time this family is just stomping all over her life, because she's very much going to Valentino being like, you don't think nothing weird with this? And he says, no, I'm cool with it. And then he says, well, we can find each other attractive. And for a second, Jackie's like, is this man trying to get at me? Because he's smoldering and stuff. Okay, I see you, Valentino, Antonio, Miguel, Robbins, or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, maybe in her mind, she's thinking, could an affair come from this? Is there some freaky stuff going on? What are we about to do?
Yeah.
But he shuts it down immediately. And she's like, God damn, I can't win nothing.
Nothing.
She can't even cheat.
Yeah.
It's hard when you can't cheat. Like, you know, you're down bad. What, is it the holidays? If even cheating becomes difficult, dear God.
Yeah, so there's, you know, a lot of issues here for Charlotte. She's really, like, looking around to, I got to find something. These people can't be that perfect. We go on, like, some side quests with the kids, and they're dealing with trying to, like, uncover and out Santa Claus that's going to be at, what would you call this? Like, some kind of, like, pageant that Jackie is running in the town square. And so they're getting ready for that. They go and run some errands. They go Christmas tree shopping, which is like a staple of some of these movies, where even though that Jackie has, like, her house is, like, completely decked out, every single room for Christmas, a million lights on the house, it's 3 days before Christmas, we need to go get our Christmas tree.
Right. 3 days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we're underselling the house. It is a winter wonderland.
Yeah.
Like, leading up to the house, every tree outside is just covered in lights. The house is covered from head to toe. It's amazing. It really is. It's not too much. It's not too gaudy. But, you know, the house is given the Christmas spirit. And so they're just waiting into that perfect moment, Rob, to buy the tree 2 days before. You are more likely to get there and there be no trees at all 2 days before
Maybe
Christmas.
Maybe they need another tree, because it's like, we have the tree for
now. We have another family here as well. We need both.
We don't want a tree.
Well, we don't want Charlotte and Jason Biggs to feel uncomfortable without their stuff. You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, like, look.
Yeah.
We got you a tree. That would just make Charlotte's head explode. Like, at that point, she's done.
Yeah. All right. So Heather Graham, this is not the first time she's been, like, sneaking around the house. She's, like, sneaking into the office. She's going through the mail. She's going through all the papers. She ends up finding, like, a letter from her husband to Jackie, which is like, aha, I've got something. I got something now. And then she ends up reading the letters, and she finds out that he was sending out his own newsletters to Jackie.
Okay, so this is how that unfolds.
Yeah.
So she's walking around being weird. She's bopping into all the rooms and kind of digging through the stuff. And Brandy catches on. She's like, I see you doing stuff. Okay. At some point, she comes home from that winter pageant thing or whatever, the thing that they were in, buying the tree from the Christmas tree selling, I guess. And she comes, she's at home. She's by herself. So she's really doing some heavy snooping. She finds herself in the attic. And then she is about to uncover, I guess, what she thinks this big secret is or something. She just finds herself in there at the wrong time because at that time, Valentino comes home and he thinks she's a burglar. So he gives her the big boot to chest. I mean, talk about boom. And she's out, bam, bam, on the ground. They're like, whoa, I thought you were a burglar. Girl, you could have died. So at that point, they're like, okay, so why are you sneaking around? Like, what exactly is going on? And she's thinking, oh, you know, I don't know. Like, I really can't say. And they're like, no, you've been sneaking around. We caught you. You got to tell us what's up. And at that point, she's like, okay, well, I know about the letters. I know about the letters. Y'all been talking to each other. What's going on? What is all this? And she's like, well, I was going to let Jason Biggs' character tell you, but here we are. And Robbie says, yeah, I really like our family. And so every year, I know you're a big old Scrooge. You don't like for people to share their information because you're a mega hater. So I didn't want you to know that I be sending out the newsletters too. You know, they go out all the time. I tell them about how great our kids are, our family is, all the cool things about you. And although you don't respect me because you've been snooping around trying to find reasons why these people aren't as flashy as they look, I actually like our life. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, dang, wow.
Yeah.
Damn. But what am I going
to
do?
The other part of this, in the backdrop to all this is that, you know, when she's she gets kicked in the chest, she's up in the attic. And actually, nobody was supposed to go up in the attic because that's where Jackie was hiding this, that I guess Valentino's mom built like incredible dollhouses, and they either got burned in a fire or destroyed.
In the fire.
And Jackie had recreated the dollhouse that Valentino's mother had lost, and she put it all back together, and it was supposed to be a surprise for him and Beatrix for Christmas. But now the frickin' mega hater Charlotte ruined the surprise. And not only that, when she goes to like stand up, Charlotte, she ends up completely destroying the whole thing and really ruining these people's Christmas, this grieving family. She's like ruined their Christmas entirely.
She ruined two Christmases. Make no mistake. She ruined the family's Christmas, but her husband is sitting there like, what do I have to do for you to not keep wanting us to be this other family? Like, damn, I know I'm not rich, but dang, I can't tell. Like, you're ashamed of us. You won't let me send out newsletters. And I've been doing it behind your back because I'm afraid of you. Mm-hmm. Lady, you're a monster. Seek help. You know, just please.
Yeah.
Like, for the love of God.
And so then after the humiliation of that, she's like, we should go. And Jackie's like, no, you got to stay. You can't leave yet.
Perfect.
You can't.
Yeah, Jackie's like, no, don't go.
And, Jackie, and to go. You, Jackie, also stand up.
Right. Jackie, damn, get out these people's ass. You know, like, they're horrible people. You deserve better. You literally deserve better. Mm-hmm. Yes, you lost a son last year, but you just don't, just because you want to be around people don't mean you have to be around all people.
These people.
Tell them people to beat it. Yeah, right. These people's, matter of fact, this wife specifically, I mean, they do her no favors.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, then we go from there where, okay, well, Charlotte is going to be trying a little bit more. She sort of reconciles with Rob after she reads the like newsletters that he sent out. And so she wants to do something nice for him. And so they end up like, I don't know, I guess there's like some like house that he wants to flip. And so somehow they're able to like do all this from Jackie's town. Of that they get like a bank loan, all this, like, you know, as like somebody who's like
you've lived this life.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how you did this in an afternoon. But she did. She did. She like somehow like got a mortgage with their emergency fund as a surprise for Rob. Beatrix negotiates with the lawyers, gets a pretty good interest rate here if this is a 2023 movie.
3.1, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Yeah.
that's solid. This girl's in Harvard.
I don't know what year this movie takes place in, but yeah, it's pretty good.
I need to see some of that. I need parts of that.
Yeah. But that being said, she ends up doing this and then shortly sees on the news that her company that she works at, StarTech, is going out of business.
Yes. So she uses all her nest egg to go and try to invest in her husband's dream, even though she always tells him, don't invest in your dream because we don't have any money. So now that she's the one who's going and blowing the money, he's like, oh, thank God, babe. I'm so glad I didn't blow that money because I just saw on the news that, you know, your job, crazy times, right? They're going under. Mm-hmm. What are you going to, like, what are we going to do? We're going to be broke. But guess what? I didn't go spend all the money on a house. That wasn't me. She's like, yeah, I got to get back to the real estate office to shut all of this down. But she has to do it in person. So now she has to leave and somehow get to the real estate office on time so that she can reverse the deal so that they're not flat broke and busted because of her stupid job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she's going to go out and this is when she spins out and the car goes off the road.
Yeah, at some point she just she's not really paying attention. Yeah. I think this is the point where she starts to realize that something has happened to their son.
Yeah, and they lost their kid also.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Grant is on a mission as well. He is determined to find out if Santa is real because Beatrix has been making some really good she's been making a lot of good points. You know, like how is this man at all the malls? How is he getting to our house? Why didn't he know where the letters were left? Like, come on, man. Something's fishy here. And so he's like, you know what? I need to go where Santa can find me specifically. And that means I need to go home. But I don't even think he makes it home. He's in like a random
business. He goes to to some like sushi restaurant or something.
Yeah, because he thinks he's a ninja. He saw the sushi restaurant and headed there. And
but so thank that's God where Charlotte wasn't when they're going out looking for his kid of like, Jackie, get out of my way. Do you have any idea what it's like to lose a child? You have no idea what I'm going through right now.
Bruh, that actually sounds like something she would have done. They could have added that to the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it, right? Like, it just, everything that they were doing was just so rude to this woman who had just lost a kid. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she's like, the world doesn't revolve around you, Jackie. I lost my son. I gotta go get him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do.
Yeah, they find him. It's not that big of a plot point. But no. So, ultimately, as Charlotte has is off like road where she crashed the car. She ends up seeing a sign for the Daniel Jennings Memorial Fund. Daniel being the son that Jackie had been mentioning in the newsletter and all the work that he was doing, and it all clicks. And what does Charlotte do? Goes back to the home. More burglary, more B&E of like, oh, let me get the keys out of the lockbox. And now I'm going to go, let me go into the room of the kid, see what's going on in there.
Right. I think
let me enter this lock. Kid. Now that I know the truth that this child has died, let me go unlock his room and go check it out.
Maybe the body's in there. You know, what was she doing? She's like, I need to, like, you confirm my suspicions. I broke into your house. Yeah. And
even
now
though I've
I
already
know.
Gotten in trouble numerous mm-hmm. times for snooping the house, let me go get the key and open this locked door.
What is she trying to gain? Just like confirmation that she's right? Or why don't she just ask them, you know, hey.
Aha! I knew it!
You frauds, all of you. You don't have a son.
Yeah, you don't have a perfect life in the news, like the newsletter.
You're worse off than me. You're mm-hmm. greedy. Charlotte, please, dear God. No, you're right. She goes and breaks in, and that's when she sees basically the whole basis of the Daniel Jennings Foundation. It's just that they are now trying to circle the globe and in a hot air balloon to raise money for all the stuff that he wanted to accomplish when he was here on Earth. And they just didn't know how to tell everybody that he was dead. But now it's forced out because of this lady, Charlotte, who just cannot mind her own damn business.
I mean, yeah. And Jackie's like, well, it's just not the type of thing that you put in the holiday newsletter.
It's not.
And Charlotte is not like, oh my God.
My God.
I can never. Oh my God. I'm so
can I give you money? How do I make this go away?
I am the worst person ever. Wow.
Please don't include this in the newsletter for next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
She feels very little remorse. She's like, oh, that's awful. But you could have told us. Like, ma'am, shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then so Jack is just like, oh, let me show you the solar powered hot air balloon.
Yeah, she has one of those because she's going to use the solar power hot air balloon to have a, because it has a glowing star on it. And so once they get it up into the air, they can use the star to light the nighttime or whatever. So for the nativity scene they're doing at the Christmas pageant that her husband is directing. Mm-hmm. And so she has a big plan. It's going to be a big surprise for her husband. She's like, oh yeah, wait till you see the star. You're not going to believe it. So now she's showing Charlotte, hey, look, this is how it's going to work. We got solar power. We got the air balloon. And I kind of need to go up there. So if you, you know, cool, everything's good. But for some reason, they can't get the hot air balloon to take flight all the way. They have to use the chip mitts.
Yeah. First off, solar power hot air balloon sounds very unsafe and leads me to some real questions about what did happen to Daniel.
I thought he got lost in a hot air balloon.
Or worse than lost in a hot air balloon.
He just plummeted when the sun went down. I mean, even in this,
solar power hot air balloon sounds very unreliable.
Here's the thing.
And also that solar power, like from what I understand, like solar, like a car, electric vehicle, like has a solar battery. It's very heavy.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want a balloon to be the thing carrying me. But you know, Beatrix, the 12-year-old, is a genius. And so there's no way this was a technological error. You know, they're not going to let Daniel die like that because this kid would have caught it. She would have caught the mistake. So even in this moment, they're like, oh, we made some changes. We tweaked it, but oh, we hadn't tested it yet. So, you know, now we're seeing that it needs some adjustments. And the first good thing Charlotte does for anybody aside from herself this entire movie is that she says, I'm an engineer. I know how to, you know, I know how to fix stuff. Let me try it. And if I'm Brandy's character, I'm thinking, well, I just saw your company and I know that flaming vacuum is yours. I don't really want you to touch these devices at all, actually. Even her 12-year-old said, I saw some flaws in your dissertation. You know, I read your researches. It's not great. So Charlotte has these chip mitts, Rob, and the chips have, what was it? Electrostatic something or other.
Yeah, they sort of like repel some stuff so you don't get like crumbs. Dust on your... So, I don't know. So
you can eat Cheetos without getting cheese on your fingers.
Yeah, okay.
But the chip mitt is the reason why the hot air balloon works, because whatever science behind the keeping the crumbs off your gloves, it's the science that they need to keep this air balloon in the air. And so now Charlotte has saved the day. Look at her.
Yeah.
She's the hero.
She did it. So good job by Charlotte. And they're able to swing past the Christmas pageant. They end up like going too close to Brandy's house and they end up like hooking a sleigh, which they were not intending to do. And then they get close enough to the Christmas pageant where then Heather Graham is able to climb down a ladder again. This very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Do not try to
like,
stay on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that Jackie's already traumatized, but, you know, Charlotte's going to do it anyway. And she gets into the sleigh and then impersonates Santa Claus and drops the monkey stuffed animal to her son, who's there.
Yeah, so when they find the son hiding in the city because he was going to go home to try to catch Santa, They talk about it for a second. Grant, that's the kid's name. Grant and Jackie, they talk. And Grant saying, look, Mom, I'm with you. I want to believe in Santa. I really do. You know, like, I got you. You don't be lying like that. So I trust you. But this 12-year-old kid, she's doing some research and it's strong. It really is. There's a lot of data pointing to the fact that y'all have been selling me a dream. There is no Santa Claus. And so although I would love to believe you, I need some proof. I need to see some tangible evidence that Santa's a real thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the hot air balloon goes up. It accidentally hooks onto that sleigh. And Jackie looks at this as her opportunity to get into the sleigh and pretend to be Santa Claus. Now, how Santa got the monkey? No clue.
No clue.
But he tosses it down. And this is all the magic that Grant needs to keep believing in the spirit of the holidays.
And this is a movie trope that, as a parent, is like, kind of an annoying one that I feel like a lot of these movies do like spend like 98% of a movie, like a lot of like kids, adults, people like refuting the status of Santa Claus. Like, I'm going to go out of my way to disprove Santa Claus. Okay. It's not real. And then just like inexplicably in the last 4 minutes of the film, Santa Claus just shows up.
Yeah. That's why when you said there was an awkward moment, I really thought you were going to say, and yeah, there was a few because, you know, I know that Nicole is a very, very intentional about keeping the holiday spirit alive.
Very much
so. When it comes to things like the Easter Bunny and Santa and the Tooth Fairy. I think that's kind of, she's got her big three. She's like, people believe until I say they can't believe.
We've moved on past the Switch Witch. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And so, she believes in that. She's like, hey, this is what we should be telling the kids. Well, then you go and watch these holiday movies and they're like, all holiday movies are like, hey, kids, Santa's not real unless unless an old man with a beard winks at you at the end of the movie.
Yeah, make sure you watch the last 3 minutes of the movie, kids.
right. Because if you don't see this man disappear from behind that tree, you'll never believe.
And all the parents are like, did you see the end of the movie?
Did you see the end
of the movie?
What about those questions about, you know, Santa not knowing where we live and Santa being at all the malls at the same time? It's like, but did you
watch the whole thing?
Right. Let's watch it again. Let's make sure you missed the crucial part. The magic of the holiday. Yeah.
It's like a Marvel movie of like, don't leave before the credits roll because you got to make sure.
Eventually, they're going to put it in a post-credit scene. Like, they're going to go all out of the way. Some kid's going to be like, you know what? Santa's not real. And I'm okay. I'm mature enough to understand that. And I'm moving on with my life. But I want other kids to enjoy that fun, too. So I won't ruin it for everybody. Mm-hmm. The end. And then the credits are going to roll. And they're going to be like, wait, don't move. Jingle Bell Rock is playing. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, it's going to go black. And then it's going to say, Santa will return. And Best Christmas Ever, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait. He's coming back. I was like, you thought he was back. Santa is definitely real, y'all. It's apparent. Look at the movie.
Well, and that is the case here. We do get where that there's some problems with the sleigh and Charlotte gets some help from apparently real Santa Claus is there to help with some roadside assistance. He does like AAA for sleigh, triple sleigh.
Yeah, and if slay. And if you thought that this wasn't the real Santa, well, if it's not, then how did Santa know Charlotte's name? You know,
it's a good question.
She wasn't wearing a badge. So very, very clearly there's some magic here. And so keep the hope alive for the kids. Rob, do your kids ever ask you questions about the movie after? Like, what did Anthony say, hey, Dad, by the way, Beatrix has some points, right? No?
We didn't talk about that. I said to Anthony, who watched it with me, I was like, wait, the kid died? They died? And he's like, yeah, I think he died, Dad.
Yeah, that's not great.
Like, why wasn't she more mad at the friend? It was like, he's like, I don't know.
I invite you into my home, and this is how you act on the anniversary of my son's death?
It's like, she's a monster.
She literally sucks. No, like I'm telling you, like I felt bad for the family that was, you know, the bereaved or whatever. Like I got that. But at the same time, I was still looking at Robbie like, dog, this woman sucks. You know, like, don't get me wrong. She's a hater. But to pick the holidays to be the time that you want to be a menace to people. So, okay, yeah. I guess. But things seem to work out for these
things
people.
Things seem
eventually.
To work out. We get sort of like Brandy sings at the end of the movie.
They sing twice throughout the movie. Remember, we kind of skipped the fact that her and Jason Biggs do have an impromptu
The movie, like,
where they have
total
the best
screen time is like an hour and 15 minutes, and about 10 minutes is Brandy singing Christmas songs.
As it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the holidays are all about.
Yeah. So we get then like sort of like a closing montage of like in a newsletter of everything that's going on. So everything is going to go great. The family's going to get together every single year for the holidays. It all worked out with Jason Biggs's house.
Mm-hmm. They got the house that they wanted, and they were going to flip it, but instead they're going to keep the home for themselves. All the kids take karate because the daughter that we have not talked about at all, her only plot line is that she thinks she's a superhero. So they, you know, luckily Antonio, that man's name is Valentino. Mm-hmm. Valentino has a dojo, a very successful one. And so now these kids that think they're a ninja and a superhero can actually take some fighting lessons. And I think they might need them because their mom's a jerk. They might have to defend her honor at some point. And I think that wraps up all the storylines. I mean, Beatrix is, you know, telling kids to believe in Christmas. Like you said, she's doing TED Talks, but she's pushing the spirit of the holidays. But it seems that they're all coming together. Santa Claus is coming to town, is playing. I think Brandy's singing it. And then her and Charlotte go into business together, and they collaborate on the Chipmint.
Yep, the Chipmint is going to be a big thing.
Mariah Carey's endorsing it because yes. That's her real friend in real life, you know?
Yeah. It's a thing. Chappelle, I'm looking at the reviews on IMDb. And,
oh my God, they hate this movie.
The audiences do not like this movie. I see a 1 out of 10 review. Was this written by ChatGPT?
Okay, we have watched some movies written by ChatGPT. Yeah. I thought this was more clever than a ChatGPT written movie. No, not to say that it was an extremely clever movie, but like I said, there were obvious ways they could have gone. The people that are portraying themselves to be so great are not so great storyline, where I was waiting to, these all be paid actors.
You know what, though? They did a bad job with the title, and I'll tell you why. Because they made it too easy for people to, when they say best Christmas ever, they make it too easy to write the review, worst movie ever, exclamation point.
Yeah, the same punctuation, yeah. And, you know, calling this the best Christmas ever when we find out the big reveal is that their son died a year ago, that's the biggest point in the movie, is that. It's kind of like, this is not the best Christmas ever. This is a good Christmas, but I'm sure the best Christmas was before they lost their kid, you know? So I think the title even might have you going in thinking that you're about to watch a feel-good story or something very funny or something. And I don't know if this was feel good. I was kind of sad about it.
This one says, best Christmas ever, not.
Oh, they really got them there, though. That's a burn.
Yeah. Winner for most cringe holiday movie ever.
That's also incorrect. I've seen the Princess Switch at this point. Mm-hmm. 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay. And just to round it out, somebody says, Brandy is an undeniable Christmas queen.
That is true. That is true. Brandy don't miss. I mean, the woman does what she does. She's an icon. We can't say too much about one of the queens of the 90s, like R&B, hip hop and acting. I mean, she was a triple threat for a while, too. I think she did other stuff, too. Mm-hmm. She's a rapper. You know, people don't know that, you know, so I think that, show Brandy her things.
And one other one says, this movie makes John Cena's The Marine look good. I don't know why The Marine needed to.
Was top of mind. Know.
Yeah.
Okay. John Cena.
Catch a stray. We know that you.
Yeah. Okay, John Cena. We know that's you in there. He was mad about the direction of the movie, obviously.
This one says, woo doggy.
Woo doggy. I didn't think this was awful. I just thought it was like a choice.
No, look, they got in, they got out. I did think that, they did make some interesting creative choices for sure.
I really think that one of the flaws is that they don't breadcrumb us enough with Daniel, right? They just don't talk about him at all. And then all of a sudden they just drop the bomb on us that he's dead too. And they're not like, oh my God, there were so many hints. There was like one hint that he had passed away. And so, I think that when you get the twist, you don't feel like, oh my God, the whole time it was right there. You just feel like, oh my God, why are you acting like this? Get out of these people's homes.
Yeah. No, I really was left wrestling with, like, are they intentionally misleading people about whether or not Daniel is alive? And I went back. I even watched, like, a third time. I went back to Brandy's, like, opening reading of the newsletter. And she said, and our oldest son, Daniel, we're fulfilling his dream of going in the hot air balloon and solving, like, the
green energy and all this other stuff.
But they really just like have it as like an aside, and then they go into like another, it's like buried in the middle. I have no pun intended. It's in the middle of the newsletter. They open with Chappelle. They start with the daughter. then they go to and then as for Daniel, blah 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 blah, and here's what we're working on.
Yeah, and we don't really see Daniel either. We see the daughter is going to Harvard. We get her school picture.
I don't think an actor plays him. I think we see like a statue of him.
Right, but we never see the kid. That's what I'm saying. They hide him from us completely. They say, Daniel's off doing his humanitarian efforts in Africa and creating clean water, saving the world, you know, blase, blase. And then they just move on. You're right. And then they really start to focus on Charlotte and her family. And so because they don't really mention Daniel throughout the film, you never see it coming. And I think that, yeah, if they were hiding him intentionally, it does make for a good twist because you're not. No, I mean, like I said, I thought he was dead just because they never said it. I said it was kind of like tongue in cheek. Like, what is he dead? Mm-hmm. But you know, I think by the time you find out that he's dead, you're like, oh my God, you know, it's like a shock to the heart. Like, whoa,
yeah.
Is that what's happening to these people? That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It don't hit like a surprise. Like you should be in on the search. It feels like I'm intruding on these people's private moment. They've been hiding it from us and now we know. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
All right.
Just some choices. That's all.
All right. So there you go. Best Christmas ever. I'm sure we'll do something else holiday related in the coming days and weeks here on Nothing But Netflix. But Chappelle, you know, there's a big event coming to Netflix very soon.
Yes. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, right?
Are you a big Scott Pilgrim guy?
No. In a former life, people used to compare me to a young Michael Cera when I was a young Chappelle. I have when younger me was a little bit more awkward, I guess I should say, just a pinch, but it's not like I was like a Michael Cera type. I think we just have very similar delivery with some of our speaking. And so people would laugh. My mom was watching Juno one day and she called me like, have you seen this? I was like, what? Why? And she's like, cause you act like this guy sometimes. So yeah. I've seen Scott Pilgrim, the movie, but I wasn't a big Scott Pilgrim, the comic guy. Like, he's not like my guy. I'm actually not a huge Michael Cera fan.
Yeah.
She's fine. But now this is the animated version of that to come to Netflix.
Okay. But that is not what I'm talking
about.
What? Yeah.
Rob, that's a shock. What?
Yes. Okay.
He's your fave.
Who is Michael Cera?
Yeah, and Scott Pilgrim, both. You love them both.
Oh, actually, maybe this is another good one. Coming November 30th, the family switch. A family descends into chaos days before Christmas when a rare cosmic event causes the parents to swap bodies with their teenage kids.
That actually has my attention.
I like those movies.
Well, yeah, we like that kind of stuff. Now, who's the people? What is the family? Do we know these actors?
I don't know if there's anybody that's very famous. Let's see. I can tell you in The Family Switch, another holiday film. Oh, Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner doing a lot of Netflix movies.
Good for her. You know, she's got that contract, I'm sure.
She's there. Ed Helms is also there too. So
we love Ed
Rita
Helms.
Moreno.
Okay. We love Rita and things, you know. Okay, I could be convinced.
Okay. That being said, Squid Game The Challenge comes to Netflix on November 22nd.
Oh, okay. That's what you were talking about. I just knew it was Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this new? What is this?
This is new. This is like the Netflix reality version of the Squid Game as we came to know and love. Way back when, the sets and the aesthetics look almost identical. So a lot of people are excited about this. But I guess the question is, I'm morbidly curious, no pun intended, about this. But will we care if they're not killing people?
Why would they not kill people?
They're not killing people. Is Squid Game interesting if they don't kill people?
So you're telling me they're about to reenact all that stuff, but the people won't die.
They don't. Yes, that's right. Looks like they get like paintballed.
What? This is boo. What are you talking about? I need to see some people die. You know, like, come on, let's murder them up. That's the whole appeal of Squid Game, wasn't it? Like, oh, don't get
that
me wrong.
Was the appeal of like, oh my God, I can't believe these people are going to die. So we liked that part. So it looks like they spent a lot of money on this. And so I think a lot of people are going to be interested.
A lot of money not killing people.
Yeah. And I guess the question is, will we see how will it be good? We don't know.
Is it? So it's just like a competition show. There's nothing social about.
No, well, I do think that you have to make alliances and stuff like that.
I mean, so you can push people down off of the little bridge thing.
I guess it will be as cutthroat, but you know, people aren't going to die. So
that people aren't going to die part is really kind of, I'm struggling with that. So, because I remember in Whodunit, people actually died. So why can't they kill people this time?
I don't know. So they're taking 456 people, going to get it down to one. Somebody's going to win $4.56 million on Squid Game.
Okay. So, yeah, you have my attention. $4.56 million. That's nothing to scoff at. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
So the money is real. The deaths are not. And so we will talk about that. I think there's going to be like 3 weeks of drops. So we'll at least cover the first week of Squid Game. And let's see how much interest there is for us to go all the way through. If people are saying, yeah, keep going, we can keep going, or we can pivot if we choose.
Do we need a guest? Is this something where we should just tackle it ourselves? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I'm open to either.
Okay.
The trick is going to be that it's coming out, I think, literally on Thanksgiving or the day before Thanksgiving. So it's going to be a little tricky to get to it super quick this upcoming weekend, but we will get to it by the latest, the beginning of next week.
Gotcha. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. I'm down. I'm skeptical. Like I said, when I heard Squid Game, I thought, you know, no disrespect to people, but I thought heads were rolling. You know, I thought people were going to die.
No.
I thought we was about to clean house, but this is fine, right? I'm not rooting for people to die. I just thought, you know, if we was going to do it, we was going to do it.
Yeah. If you should do it, you're like, let's do it.
Right. Half-assed. Okay, yeah. Fine. Whatever.
I mean, this is more of a Squid Game.
Right. Like, this is...
Game is in capital letters, right?
Right, exactly. You know, Squid Game, that was a phenomenon because, you know, people was in it to win it. Y'all, this is for play. Y'all cool.
Yeah. Okay. Chappelle, what else is coming up for you?
I don't know. So, of course, the holiday season's upon us, but I don't really have, like, holiday plans. I mean, I'm still doing the podcasting with you, suitspodcast.com, every day, talking about Mike Ross and Harvey.
The spin-off of this podcast.
Six, yeah, we're in season six, wrapping it up pretty soon. Eventually you will hear like coverage from season 7, 8, and then we have to switch platforms and go to 9. But I, you know, we're enjoying the Suits journey, so go to suitspodcast.com and keep up with all of that. And then over on post show recaps, I'm still talking about Rap Shit with Mari. And then I'm talking about The Walking Dead. We're just wrapping up Fear of the Walking Dead right about now, and so that's a good time because Fear is over and we can move on to the other Walking Dead spinoffs as well. So check me out in all those places. Follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. And if I'm tweeting about any podcast releases, y'all will see it. And you know, just keep up with all this stuff. It's a good time.
All right, fun stuff. Getting into the holiday season, Chappelle. I hope you come around and are really starting to warm up to the holidays.
I have nothing against the holidays. In fact, I invited myself over to your house for Christmas, and you told me no.
No, I did. You're lying. You never did. Stop it.
You told me no because I was like, oh, should we podcast about Suits on Christmas from your home? And you were like, oh, we probably won't do that. I was like, why? You think I won't come? Now, if y'all don't believe me, go and subscribe to Suits Podcast.
I don't remember if this actually happened or not. I don't think this happened.
Okay. If you are a listener of Nothing But Netflix, but you've never listened to the Suits Podcast, go subscribe to on suitspodcast.com, hit subscribe, and then listen to episodes 1 through, what are we up to, 90?
93, and,
yeah, something like that. Go listen to all of those and then tell me which episode I expressly say, Rob, if you want me to come over for Christmas and podcast under the Christmas tree, I'll do it. But you got to say yes. And he did not say yes, y'all. I'm just saying. Somebody go fact check me.
All right. There you go. All right. Thank you so much for checking this out. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.